Good day, everyone. Our text today might be quite challenging for some of us, especially in this COVID-19 season, where most of our lives, where even the church has moved online. Businesses and meetings and even social gatherings, even weddings have moved online. And so it could be perfectly natural for us to move everything online. But what is clear from our text today is maybe that's not how it's meant to be. And so let's read it together from Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us today like never before, that you would use your word to pierce our hearts and guide our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the Jewish culture of the day, giving, praying, and fasting were central elements in their religion. And we must remember that Jesus was speaking to a predominantly Jewish crowd. And so when he spoke about fasting and giving and praying, they would not be offended by it or even think that it was strange, because it was an integral part of their everyday lives. And what is clear from our text is Jesus doesn't have any problem with any of these. But he does have a problem when we do any of these things for the wrong reason. And that's why he starts his teaching with, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others as to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, at first, it might seem contradictory to a passage that we dealt with a few weeks ago, when you and I were challenged to shine our lights, and so that when others see our good works, they would give glory to God in heaven. But when we go back to that text, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is the light of the world, and that it's him that is shining in and through us, bringing glory to God. And so when we do our good works, it is the light of Christ shining in us and bringing glory to God. That is the heart behind it all. And so when Jesus now states that we should be careful not to practice our righteousness in front of others, we have to continue reading in the text, because it says, don't practice your righteousness to be seen by them. Oh, how we need to hear this in our modern day context. Oh, friends, we've got to be a bit more careful with what we do and what we say. We've got to be a bit more careful about what we post, because you and I never know who's watching and who's following us and what impact our words and our actions will have on their lives. And so we must listen to these words of Jesus today with all that we've got, because there's an eternal reward at stake. In this generation of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and now even TikTok, we are encouraged to post everything from our breakfast that we had this morning to our favorite color socks, even our trip to the shops. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking social media at all. Especially in times like these, it does a wonderful job at bringing us together, keeping us connected with friends and family. But when we use social media to post our good works, our acts of righteousness, even our just causes, what is clear from this text is that we should not do that. And therefore, before we get our backs up, we must know that Jesus doesn't have a problem with any of these things. He doesn't have a problem with giving or praying or fasting or doing good things. problem comes when we do it for the wrong reasons. And he is also fully aware of the fact that sometimes, in particular with our giving and praying, that's going to happen in the public. Where you and I go for a walk on the promenade, we bump into a friend, and they pour out their hearts towards us. And in that moment, we are led to either pray for them or help them in some way. Jesus doesn't have a problem with that at all. However, when you and I post it online, or even brag about it with friends or family, Jesus says that if you and I do that, we will receive no reward from our Father in heaven, because we've already received our reward on earth. Your reward and my reward would be the praise of men and women for a brief moment. And when that memory of what we've done passes away, so does our reward. And so what is clear when we read this text and we go on further in the Gospels is the Pharisees and the teachers of the law struggled with this as well, as is evident in their constant drive to display their acts of goodness and kindness, their giving and their fasting in the public forums for all to see, because they were caught in this never-ending cycle of seeking the approval of men instead of the approval of God. You see, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't even matter where you're doing it. It doesn't even matter when you're doing it. What mattered then, what matters even more now in our very connected world, is why we're doing it. And that's Jesus' focal point in this teaching. He comes back to the same thing again and again throughout his entire ministry, because Jesus isn't too concerned about how we give, pray, and fast. What he is most concerned about is why we give, why we pray, and why we fast. Because when we get the why right, the how, the when, and the what can be tweaked afterwards. It's far easier to do it later on. And so friends, Jesus is most concerned about the intent of our hearts. He reveals this in verse 2. He says, "So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners to be honored by others." So in our modern day context, don't post it, don't tweet it, don't TikTok it, but rather, just do exactly what God has called you to do. Give, pray, fast, shine your light, do your good works. And if somebody else takes a picture and posts it or tweets it, in that the glory is given to God and not to you. God will receive all the glory, because in no way can it be said that you did that act, that good deed, to receive any attention, but rather the reason for your giving and praying and fasting will be clear to others when someone else tells of the good works that you've done. You gain very little from it, because the highlight of the story is always the action and not necessarily the person doing it. Just think about a story that you've ever retold, or a post that's had a lasting impact on your life. You might remember who did it or what the story was about, but you can most certainly remember what they did, because that's had a lasting impact on your life. And I'd argue that the reason why it's had a lasting impact on your life is because that person's motives were pure. They didn't do it for any recognition from you at all. And that's possibly why their reward, the impression it's made on you, still holds value in your life to this day. And so what is clear from Jesus' teaching is this: when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now from this, we can say, hang on, that's impossible. My left hand is part of the same body as my right hand. So of course it's going to know what the other hand's doing. And possibly Jesus is illustrating here that when we give to God and when we give to others, our motives must always be pure. Because he knows that it is so easy to do anything with mixed motives. It is so easy to do as many good deeds as we possibly can, simply to balance out the scales and to do more good deeds than all the bad things we've done. Or we do as much good deeds as we possibly can to receive an extra blessing from the Lord. Or you and I believe the lie that we were sold, that as long as we do a lot of good deeds, God will be more inclined to listen and even answer our prayers. Oh, friends, all of these, when God looks at them, he says that our good deeds are like filthy rags in his sight because our motives are completely wrong. Instead of doing good in response to God's goodness to us, when we're truly honest with ourselves, we can see that at times our good deeds are actually built upon selfish ambition that was clearly evident then and is frankly still very part of our culture and our indoctrination to this very day. Where some become very uncomfortable with teachings like this and we go to great lengths to defend it. And this might be because this teaching of Jesus goes against all that we've been taught from a very, very young age. And maybe, just maybe, we're wrestling with this unlike all the other things we're called to do. Because this takes some serious effort if we've lived all of our lives with our needs and our desires as the focal point of our lives. Some of us might have lived this way on a very subconscious level, with the idea that we are the most important thing in our lives. And this simply just manifests itself in our desire for human praise and affirmation. And so when Jesus asks us to give and to pray and to fast and do our good works in secret with no human praise and affirmation, he's asking us to put to death the pleasure of vain and finite praise, and in return, rather receive a heavenly reward and praise from our God and Father in heaven that lasts into all eternity. Now, friends, we know that dying to this part of our lives is really tough. And for some, it can take years. But the good news is we have thousands of examples of men and women who've been able to place God at the very center of their lives. They've been able to live for an audience of one. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus? When he heard the gospel preached, he repented and asked God for forgiveness and happily accepted God's gift of salvation. And then the most incredible thing happened in his heart. He clearly realized that he had lived his entire life with the wrong motives, for the wrong reasons, and even in his case, with the wrong means. And so in response to the gift of salvation that he so freely received, he chose to turn his back on that way of life. And he gave half of his riches to the poor. And then every single person he defrauded of anything on his way to the pinnacle of his career and his riches, he restored fourfold. He paid back four times more than what he took. How amazing would that be today? And what was Jesus' response to him? Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." In other words, salvation caused Zacchaeus to realize what the most important thing in his life should be, and that is to live his life for an audience of one, even at great personal cost. Another example is a young man by the name of Barnabas, who was called and admired as a son of encouragement in the early church. When believers were selling their lands and houses to gather money for the poor, it says that Barnabas sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And we must remember that in this context, and in the era that he lived in, a field was very, very important to his wealth, but also the well-being of his family. Yet, because he realized what the most important thing was in his life, living for an audience of one, he sold a really important part of his life and he gave the money to the poor in response to the salvation that he had received. Not to show off, but rather to give glory to God. And then there are other examples that aren't necessarily financial. Do you remember the life of Paul? When he came to salvation, in response to the amazing gift that he had received, he also changed the focus of his life. Instead of killing Christians, he started to spread the good news of Jesus Christ at great personal cost, even to the extent where he suffered greatly for his cause. He was beaten, jailed, and nearly killed for spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. You see, I'd like to suggest that people like Barnabas and Zacchaeus and Paul, and even right now in our modern day context, the CEOs, business owners, men and women, ordinary men and women who have given millions in aid of those in desperate need during this pandemic, I would like to suggest that in most cases, if not all, salvation has come into their lives, into their homes, to some extent at least, where the gospel of Jesus Christ transformed their hearts. And this has led people to change the focus of their lives. Instead of, let's just gather up all that we have and make sure that we're okay. Salvation softened their hearts to the point where they were willing to give to those in need at great personal cost. And just maybe this happened because the gospel transformed their hearts and transformed the reason for living. I would argue that for most people who do that kind of thing, they live for the audience of one. They live to glorify God in all that they say and do in response to the gospel. And maybe today you've come to realize that you have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when you carefully examine your heart and the priorities in your life, you've realized that you've lived for the wrong reason. You've lived for everything but the audience of one. And so today, may you hear the challenge of Christ louder than ever before. May you live, may you give, may you pray and fast, all for the glory of God. For in so doing, you will inherit an eternal reward where neither moth, rust, or thief can come in and destroy. The challenge is live for an audience of one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us to place you at the center of our life. Lord God, our hearts, it is so easily deceived to place ourselves at the center of it all instead of you. Give us the courage, Lord, to surrender our lives to you daily and respond to your gift of salvation by doing our good works, by giving, praying and fasting, all for your glory and your glory alone. Remind us daily to do that more often and protect us from that ambition to post our good works and brag about it online and even with friends. Help us to live for an audience of one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks so much, Jan, for that powerful word and just reminding us that we live for an audience of one. And if you've been struck by anything that you've heard today and you want to give, I want to encourage you to have a look at our church website, dncc.org.za, if you're looking for opportunities to be generous and you want to see how we steward what we're entrusted with as a church. You're welcome to have a look at that. Now we're going to close with a song that is also just a reminder that we live for this audience of one, that God alone is the one that we want to please. When everything else is stripped away and all the fanfare is pushed aside, who we are with God is what matters. And so as we close, I pray that this will be a song that resonates with you and you'll be able to commit yourself once again to come back to the Lord and to live for His pleasure, to please Him and Him alone. Amen.